Hello there, and welcome to another episode of Bill With It, your weekly dose of everything EastEnders. With me, your host and driver of the Wolford Express, Abner, and my navigator and co-host,
Amelia.
Right, so let's begin this week with taking a peer over at Bernie and Ted's flat share. Well, not really a flat share, but the Taylor and Murray house.
It's basically a share house. They don't need two doors. They're coming in and out. Bernie's proved this multiple times through all four episodes by just walking in whenever she wanted. She made a big show and dance of knocking once, and therefore, because she's like a vampire, once you invite her in once, she doesn't need to ask permission again. She just comes and goes as she pleases.
Is she the worst character on the show?
Oh,
you know I think what? She might be. She seems to be the people's champion at the moment, but I don't know why. She's just rubbish.
I could see it at the start, don't get me wrong. I mean, she was starting to, you know, really go places. She cared about that old man. And it was like you didn't really know the scumbag that Ted was yet. So you're like, oh, that's nice. Like, she's not going to work, but at least she's not Hunter trying to run a club. She's trying to, you know, be out in the community. But this episode, she just showed everyone that she was incapable of allowing a family to grieve. Especially a fractured family. Like, she wanted to be in it to win it. You may as well have just started calling her Mrs. Murray. She was basically...
She was there at all times.
Well, she got some new clothes, doesn't she? She has some new clothes, Emma. You've said before that she only has a school uniform. So I guarantee you, she is wearing Joyce Murray's clothing. Oh, they're just equally that bad. And I was keen for him to go to Nottingham. And at the start, they were trying to make him sympathetic by making it seem like he was in shock or maybe old because he was forgetting things. And at the end, he just calls his daughter some ungrateful pig. Because she didn't like the way that he spoke to her husband at their wedding. I couldn't believe it. And I also think, what's tying you to Walford? The Taylors? You're always banging on about these bloody grandkids. Go up to Nottingham and have a bit of a family time with them. Also, where are your other two kids? Where's Barbara and Alan? Did he just ring Judith? And that was enough for him. Oof, took it out of me to tell my one out of three children.
He was exhausted all week by just not wanting to do things. He's a lazy man.
I also found out over the past couple of weeks how expensive it is to have a funeral. So I hope that no one close to me dies because I do not have £3,500 just to bury someone. I'll bury them in my backyard. Thank you very much.
My big question to you. Is Joyce inside that sewing machine?
Yes, of course she is. Did you see that movie Downsizing, where they just made them little people?
Yeah.
Joyce didn't actually die. She was just downsized.
Into a little person.
Ted didn't.
And yeah, she's Ted, living
Ted
in...
Ted didn't want to do it, so she's living in the sewing machine.
Oh, of course. All makes
that's
sense
why,
now.
That's why Ted didn't think that she was dead for ages.
But the other good bit was Martin giving Ted free bananas. Oh, this must be so hard for you. Have some free leftover bananas?
Oh, I know, he couldn't even give him a fruit basket.
I've never seen them interact. Why would that happen?
Well,
and why is Bernie following? Well, she can see free food. She's gone, oh, free food, I'll follow with Ted. He's getting free bananas left, right and centre.
What I enjoyed the most was watching Denise try and think of adjectives to describe Joyce. Because, like us, we didn't really know her. So, but it's polite to say you're sorry and that some, you know, that the person that's died is something. So poor Denise was just like, she was... amazing? Unsure.
She dug herself a hole.
I was with the storyline that, you know, that Ted was sympathetic for the first couple of episodes. I was really there. I think they painted his daughter out to be just controlling enough that you were like, oh, not a fan of her. Hey, where'd she come from? Joyce was a nice lady, maybe? Unsure. Like, but as soon as they all went to the cafe and Ted again, chose Bernie, some rando, and a chess set over his family. I thought, he's not learnt anything. This whole Good Friday episode was just us watching Ted really come to a revelation that what he was doing to his family was not appropriate. And he does it again, and my goodness.
And at the end, he chooses the Taylors. He ends it all by choosing not family.
But now that the Taylors have become his family, he won't want to hang out with them anymore. He wants what he can't have. It's all about the chase with Ted.
It's kind of like, because at the end she said, oh great, I'll get some plates then, shall I? And he went to snap at her, but then he went, oh yeah, I'll just have it at the paper. Even Joyce said it was better. Did she?
Poor Joyce. He wasn't listening to what she was saying. But it's true, he starts to snap at her. He's not a good person. We're just going to watch him go through family after family after family, ravaging them.
Just moping around.
He's going to ravage and suck the life and love out of these families.
I think you're right.
Until it's just Ted at the end in like an apocalypse scenario of Walford. And he's just sucked the life out of every single family. And then we get a reboot.
I'd like to see him go head to head with Max.
Over Bad Dad status. Instead of Branning Knows Best, can we have Bad Dad rematch? Or Bad Dad Off. Like
Bad Dad Off.
And so
that's like, another series altogether.
Week to week we just compare Ted and Max, or they go head to head on
just.
Is
this a new feature?
I think it should
be. We can have face offs between bad parents. We can have like a table. Give him points.
We didn't see Max this week, but therefore we didn't see his kids either. So I mean, maybe he's being a good dad.
I haven't seen Max for weeks. He's MIA.
But we saw Ted, and he just could. He didn't even tell his kids that their mum had died. I mean, that's just a text, if anything. If you really can't be bothered, just go, mum, R.I.P. Sad emoji.
So, Bernie, Judith, Ted, sitting in a calf, all together, playing chess in front of her, which is kind of like a rubbing salt in the wounds to her.
Especially because, yeah, Judith knows full well.
If you're Ted, why don't you just go, Bernie, not now. We'll play later if you want to play.
Bernie didn't ask him. He ran over.
Demanded.
He ran over and was like, what? Bernie?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He should have just said, Bernie, not now. But instead he went, she's a genius. She's amazing.
After he'd made that headway because he was like, I want to show my daughter off. And then I was like, oh, that's nice. It'd be nice to hear my dad say that. But
was he talking about Bernie?
Yeah. He was like, can you come to the calf so you can watch my only daughter play? He may as well have turned to his blood and guts daughter and said, I wish I had a daughter.
So while Bernie was playing Ted, she uttered this disgusting line, which it's innuendo enders again. And it made me feel sick. So he moved one of the pieces. I'm convinced they just moved them in random places because it never looks like a checkmate scenario, ever. But he moved one of his pieces. She looked at him, like, directly in his eyes and said, I get excited seeing a good move. Do you get excited seeing a good move, Amelia?
I've never seen Ted play, so I can't comment.
Oh, we've seen it week on week. It's still going. Since we started this podcast 7 weeks ago, chess has been in every week.
I take it back.
It's ongoing.
I'm not a teenage girl, therefore I can't comment on Ted's moves exciting me. If Bernie's legitimately your favourite character, can you get in contact with us? Because we are open-minded. I don't know about you, Epna, but I want to like Bernie because I love the Taylors now.
I'm a big Taylor fan, though. I said this to you.
And I want the set. I want the set at home, okay?
They'd be the perfect family.
Bernie is not on my shelf at the moment. I want to hear from you guys why Bernie is so good. Please, I beg you, because I want the whole set and I just cannot get on board with Bernie.
She gave this little spiel to Jay, didn't she, about losing that baby that I didn't know actually had happened. But I just didn't care.
It's not that I didn't care, it's just she doesn't talk about it, so therefore I just got confused.
I didn't care because it was poorly conveyed. I couldn't get behind her because I don't think she's a real character.
I also think that it's all about like the show, not tell. But you know, EastEnders couldn't trust Bernie to just show that she was connecting Joyce's death with her own baby's death. She had to literally say, oh, it's like when my baby died and I wanted to put her in with a bear. And I'm sorry, the writers couldn't actually come up with anything that alluded to this. We have to just say it out loud like this. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's fine for them, but whatever.
If you are a Bernie fan, please get in touch. Tweet us, BWI_podcast, or email us in, billwithip.podcast@gmail.com. Amelia?
Yes?
Let me be the first to tell you, Phil's back.
Phil is back this time. He's really back this week. He was up off the couch. He was at work. He was doing work this time. And not only that, he also broke a glass in his kitchen, and he intimidated Sharon. And that's when we know Phil's back.
when he's breaking things and intimidating women,
mm-hmm.
Phil's back. Phil's That's back. When you truly know Phil's back.
Phil's back.
But also, along with Phil being back, Steve Owen's back?
What is Hunter doing?
He's imitating his dad.
Why?
I don't know why. The tie and the wink at the end was both cringy and a bit badass. It's a kind of like...
It was cringy because you knew that it was coming for so long. As soon as Phil told him about it, I was like, oh,
it's the reboot.
But I just didn't care. I don't care. I don't like Hunter, but I don't hate him. I don't think he's a villain or a badass or a cool guy. I don't care about him. He may as well be a bin. A bin that just gets around in that purple jacket who seems to always be in E20 and isn't even at work. Mel's looking after a bin for all I care.
He's running the club.
I don't care about him. Like, I just, like, they've not established for me to care about him in any way. Not scared of him. Don't think he's funny. I'm not invested in his life at all. Like, if next week they were like, oh, that actor can't play Hunter anymore, so he's out, but never talk about him again, I'd be like, who? You mean the bin that lived with Mel for a while? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. I don't care.
Mel played a big part this week. She bought some fruit for Martin off the stall.
Oh, you know this, didn't you?
And paid dividends for it. She only got like a bag of tomatoes.
That's how Martin can afford to give money away.
And she paid with notes, plural.
That's how Martin can afford to give fruit away to grieving widows or widowers.
He's making bank on the tomatoes. That's what's happening. He's seeing Mel coming and just go to Tesco.
Well, they don't have a Tesco, they have a Minute Mart, because Sharon took the whole family around the Minute Mart to get all this stuff for a massive Sunday lunch. You can't tell me that that rack of lamb or whatever they had was in the Minute Mart.
I mean, one whole wall of that Minute Mart is dedicated to magazines.
Unless they're going to Shirley's Butcher and it wasn't lamb at all, it was like a zebra or something. Overall, I just think that storyline was... I know it was meant to be more exciting, but it's just been dragged out for so long that I just... It should have happened very much earlier on, a good 3 weeks ago. You know when we had that week of just, what was it? It was Mitch back in with the Taylors. Didn't need it. Chuck that storyline of Hunter in at the same time. And that could have built up a little bit of tension, because then Hunter would have been new. But now I just think, who cares, Hunter? Like, you've known about your dad being crazy for ages now.
Are you Team Mel or Team Sharon?
Team Sharon.
You're on Team Sharon.
Yeah, I am. And I'm proud of it as well. I don't know why. Because she's not afraid to get down in the muck. The way that she just went for those Slaters, even though she's dirty Den's daughter. Even though she'd slept with her own...
No shame.
Even though she slept with her own brother and had a baby with her brother. Even though she's married to Phil Mitchell and she is just his doormat. Even though she owns a club... that she, like, and lets her arch nemesis run it because she's so lazy, she will still have a crack at someone else and have the gall to stand by Ian Beale. Like, I just think that's a character I want to keep on the show. Mel seems to just be going for some sort of villainous vibe, and I don't care for it.
What did you think of the grand reveal of E20?
A lot of green sofas. Very small.
Very small.
And not enough time in the office, as far as I'm concerned, which has been the main...
That office space seems to be bigger than the actual club space.
It does. Open up the office space. You know what I thought, though, was why did Sharon wanted those topless waiters in there? That was her one request, and Mel wouldn't even give her that. Like, she's cut her out of everything else.
Yeah.
This is basically Mel. This is basically Hunter's bar, posing as Mel's bar, which is actually Sharon's bar. And she wouldn't even let Sharon have her topless waiters. And Sharon was so sad because, like, she's at home with Phil. She's not getting any of that topless action anymore. It is time for everyone's favourite game. It's Who 20? It's Me 20! This is the game where I give Abner a couple of clues, I give you, the listener, a couple of clues, and let's see if you can beat Abner to choosing which character this may be. So far, Abner's been very good. So, they first appeared in November in 1998.
Martin Fowler.
No. They celebrated their 1,000th episode in 2010.
Oh, this is a tricky one. They're still on the show, yeah?
I can't answer questions.
It's someone that's currently on the show, though. That's how we do the game, isn't it?
I'd tell you if they went on the show. It's too unfair.
Sharon?
No. They lived and also recently disclosed that they were abused in a children's home.
Oh, I feel like I should know this, but I don't. Go on.
Two marriages. One short-lived, one current, and they have two children as well. They have two children.
Max? No, it's not Max.
So, originally they worked at E20 when Steve Owen ran it as well.
It's not Billy.
It's Billy.
Billy!
And that was the end of my clue, so therefore I won.
Let's move on to the other big story this week.
Please.
Everybody hates the Slaters.
I hate the Slaters.
Good reason.
Yeah, they tried to fake a funeral, which is just bad taste, because now they actually have a funeral that Ted's struggling financially to pay for. So all that money that they could have channeled into Darling Joyce, that apparently everyone loves, they already gave to Kat, and now they just don't want to do it anymore. So they should be feeling pretty rotten about themselves. And yet Stacey,
yeah, definitely,
is shocked that she's getting dog poo on her front doorstep and eggs.
Let's be honest, they're all four of them are the worst family ever.
Of course they are. No, I 100% agree.
But yet again, Karen got the better of Kat.
I don't understand. Kat is being...
The amazing thing that Karen can, like, turn to Kat and literally just say, "You're scum," is it makes my life.
You know, the only thing that I think is, though, is that right at the end when they were trying to, you know, be in the Vic and be upstanding citizens, and they kept saying, "Don't rise to it, we have to be on our best behaviour," and Ian says a couple of things, and Mo throws a drink on him. How is this showing that we are anything better?
And then they were accepted back, because apparently, does Denise run the pub now?
Well, why apparently did Linda, Denise has the Linda, most influence Linda, on everyone.
Linda said, "Not here, get out, guys, don't want you here." And then Denise goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, actually, give him a chance." And everyone goes, "Yeah, yeah, give
him
a chance
Denise,
again.
You're right, hey." Well, she why? Had a lot of extra influence when she had Phil Mitchell's baby.
Is that it? Yeah. Is that where it comes from? Mm-hmm. Silence! Denise is talking!
You know what I think it is, though? Is that
who's Denise?
So frustrating.
How old do you have a Mitchell baby?
I did enjoy watching Danny just from the sidelines, because he's not a main character this week, but just him trying to, you know, be like a goofy husband next to Linda. Like, there was that scene when Kat was trying to get a job where he was describing Linda as loose with a glass of vino watching Les Mis. And Linda goes, gives him a look and goes, "Oh, no, not loose at all." And then you have just these scenes of, like, Mick trying to move Linda along away from Kat. I just think, I applaud Danny. Oh, sorry, Mick.
I feel like even to the audience, the writer's now trying to, like, get the Slaters back into our good books as well. Because everyone must see now that they are scum. They have robbed everyone on that square.
And they're not sorry about it either. The only one that's sorry about it is
Jean. I feel robbed.
No, yeah.
Everyone just wants to be back. Every hound has this entitlement. Every Slater has the entitlement to be back in the good books for no reason other than we've lived here all our lives.
I think that I feel robbed that they're back on the TV screen and I didn't want them. I barely wanted Stacey. I thought we were about to get rid of Stacey and now we have all of them and they're just rubbish.
So the first thing...
They're not nice to other characters, so you'll never have a storyline with them and anyone else. Because
the first... Go on.
I just have to outline these three reasons. They're not nice to anyone, so no one wants to have a storyline with them, okay? Because they're just not good people. Their second storylines are always boring, because it's just them again. Also, they're bad people, so you're never surprised by their bad choices, because you're like, well, trash people, trash decisions. And three... There's just too many of them, and they're always so involved.
It was a big push by Kat to become likable again. As I said, not only to the square, but to the audience as well. So, she set up a cleaning business.
Who doesn't love a cleaner?
Right, so she's going in the bottom rung of, like, society, if you will. Right, she's cleaning for other people. Which is supposed to make you go, "Oh, okay, so she's trying." In your head, you're going like that. But then, the first scene we actually saw with Kat... She called Whitney a tart?
Yes. A fan favourite. We love Whitney. She's nothing but nice.
But it's that and the fact that I don't think Kat can call anyone a tart, tongue in cheek or not. Then we had another scene not far long after that where Kat was walking around with Stacey's kid. Hmm. And it was like, "Oh, look, Kat's talking to a child. Oh, we like Kat now because she's interacting with a child and children are nice, so we like cats.
Also, where are her kids?
That's why that scene existed.
But where are her kids? Why can't we see her and her kids?
Because she's a crap mum.
Done. Are there any Slaters that are good mums, though?
No. Cat went in and called Karen a thief. Cat called someone else a thief this week.
I do enjoy...
After this whole thing of they've literally stolen. They can't call anyone thieves right now.
I do really like their Cat and Karen's dynamic, though. I don't want
that
to get
rid
of.
That's the one thing I'm taking away from it.
Because I think they're going to be end up being very good friends.
Do you? Yeah. I hope not. I hope they keep this rivalry going.
I think they're
going
to have that rivalry as well, but I think ultimately they're going to have that like friendly rivalry where they're either friends or they're enemies, but like they always have each other's backs.
Where were the kids while they were in the pub? And how are they affording pints?
£20
How are they affording
time?
A round of drinks?
Multiple rounds.
Yeah.
I thought they were meant to be in debt to Gene. If I was Gene, I'd say, can we stop drinking, please?
I don't think Gene was drinking. I think she was having tap water.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where I have taken a few utterances from various characters during the week, and I've just snipped off the end, and I'm going to ask you to finish their sentences.
Please.
Okay, so let's play EastEnders Sentence Ender number one.
Look, I hate to break this to you, but I'm...
Oh, I remember this scene, but I don't know where I remember it from. I'm an adult in the real world.
An adult in the real world. Let's find out.
Look, I hate to break this to you, but I'm an orphan, right? So sob stories won't work on me.
Oh, please, Jay, come on.
I'm an orphan.
Oh, please, Jay, come on. Another reason to hate Bernie.
I'm an orphan.
Okay, so on to EastEnders Sentence Ender. Number two.
Okay, I'm ready.
How stupid do you think I am?
So what? You think I can get food lunch with you without...
Without alcohol?
What's your final answer?
Alcohol. Okay,
alcohol. Let's find out.
How stupid do you think I am?
So what? You think I can get food lunch with you without a drink?
Oh, come on. You can give me that one.
I'm going to give you half a point for that.
Because thank you. Because alcohol and a drink are the same thing.
So you've got one half out of two.
I think the third one's going to be good for me.
Okay, so EastEnders Sentence Ender, number three.
Charlatans, a lot of you.
Ah, shut your face,
you
Bill.
You should have stayed dead and taken this lot with you.
What?
Oh, yeah. Come on in. That's not fair. They've been through a lot.
Thank you, Sharon.
Men of men. I remember this one because I laughed.
That was Sharon on point right there.
Exactly. That's why I sided with her over everything.
Let's find out.
Charlatans, a lot of you.
Ah, shut your face,
you
Bill.
You should have stayed dead and taken this lot with you.
What?
Oh, come on in. That's not fair. They've been through a lot.
Thank you, Sharon.
Of men.
I've got to go now, Stacey.
It does make me laugh.
What's Stacey on? What planet is Stacey on? Again, the entitlement just sat there with her.
She thinks that Sharon, literally Sharon Mitchell, is going to, you know,
suddenly change her mind and go, actually, yeah, that's a bit harsh.
Alright, so Abner, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Who was hot this week?
Oh, the hots and the nuts.
Who
was hot this week?
It was, while you're thinking.
Go on.
And this is going to be controversial and you're going to have a go at me for it, but I think it was Sharon.
I would take Sharon as an answer.
She...
On a few things, I would take Sharon as an answer for
I
that.
Think that she... She was enjoying a wine with a friend. She was trying to get the family together for a nice meal. She made a great bread and butter pudding. Billy said so. She took that moment for when, like, her nemesis, the woman that she's feeling very insecure about, poured cream all down her shirt to the final episode of the week where she was calling Kat out for being, and the Slaters for being, the scum of the earth and the worst people in the world, seemingly forgetting that her marriage was about to break down. She takes so much credit.
She needs a break.
She, like...
Why, again, why was everyone in that pub early afternoon on a weekday?
It was a Friday. Hard day. The stores finish early. So,
my not this week is Kat.
Ooh, yeah.
Just get her out.
You can
just smell
the desperation off her this week.
I just, it's the circling around the square. Why is there always a character circling around the square? What? She was it this week. She was just wandering around, still begging. Begging for work, but still begging or asking for something.
Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing.
Just aiding with his money. Can we just have a week where someone doesn't go around the square asking for stuff? That'd be nice.
My knot would unfortunately have to be Keanu.
Keanu? What
spending the
wrong?
Whole week, the whole last episode, looking for Phil for a long wait.
Oh.
I enjoyed it at the pub, don't get me wrong, but that joke got so old so fast and there was just no payoff.
So for thought, that reason, he's your knot.
He's the knot. Well, I couldn't have Ted and Bernie again.
I feel there's something we're missing. I feel there's something we haven't talked about yet. There must be. I'm flicking through my notes thinking...
There's nothing,
I've watched four episodes. I'm like a madman. I've watched all four episodes and nothing really happened.
What did you think of when Carmel gave Bex and Louise advice about...
Didn't care.
...losing... Okay.
Didn't care. Why didn't they just do it? Why do they have to use a seatbelt analogy?
It was like a condom.
Right, the BBC... I know what it was. I get it. Okay. But the BBC has been set up to entertain, to inform, and to educate. That's what they do. That's why it's government funded. If they're going to educate through EastEnders, do it properly. Because... Everyone complains there's no proper sex education. Just do it on EastEnders then, because that's what we're trying to do. They're trying to do it through there, but they're using a seatbelt analogy. No one's now going to go out and go, oh, I better put my seatbelt on. What does that mean? Just do it properly. Just have a sit down and go, oh, you're going to have sex with Hunter? Yeah? All right, put a condom on. Just do it right there. Sort it, and then everyone's happy. Don't use this seatbelt. Don't tiptoe around it, right? Because... Like, 2 weeks ago, the term grief sex was being put around. That if that's A-okay to do, if we could put grief sex all around the place, right, then just say condom. You've got to agree with me on that. You can't not agree with me on it. It's ridiculous.
I do agree, but I don't want to show
Because it wasn't funny.
Audience.
It wasn't funny, it was just...
I don't want to show our audience how heated you are and how little I cared. Like... I feel like this needs to just be a rant from you, because if they hear your aggressive, angry, excited tone and then my quite calm tone going, yeah, it will seem weird.
I'm right, am I?
You are right.
Thank you.
They should have made it a learning moment. Those kids aren't going to school, so they may as well learn something here.
Right, that's all we've got time for this week on Bill With It. I'm parking the bus, I'm pulling over.
Oh, just helping Dot off with her shopping.
Again?
Once a week, Abner. She's allowed to eat.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, why not give us a little subscribe?
That'd be nice. You could also listen to us on YouTube, on our dedicated YouTube channel, Bill With It. Through the week, we also have little bits and pieces that go up, extra tidbits from our podcast as well. We also have a Twitter, BWI_podcast.
And you can email us if you want to get in direct contact.
Bealwithit.podcast@gmail.com.
Right, that's it.
See you next week. Bye. Don't.
Hey.